Hello, Steve.
Are you recording?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I call the meeting to order. The first item is the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm just following the agenda. Also wanted to take a moment to remember the victims and heroes who lost their lives on September 11, 2001. I can't believe it's been 24 years. We'll be quiet for the roll call, Kathy.
Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones.
Here.
Craig Letts.
Present.
John Dashner.
Present.
Sharon Tobias.
Present.
Also with us is legal counsel Gavin Ralphs, general manager Tyler Mayo, customer service representative Annalisa Gill, and myself, Kathy Powell, office administrator. We also have a guest with us, Ralph from San Mateo County, that will be joining us.
Thank you very much.
Does Ralph have a last name?
Is it Abaya? Abay?
It's Abaya.
So the first item is the public comment. And the shareholders in attendance asked an opportunity to ask questions to make statements of items not on the agenda. So I believe that where Mr. Abaya was going to address us.
We're going to go into executive session and I'm going to stop recording.
That'd be a question for you.
Yeah. Should we go to executive session before we have Mr. Abaya speak to us, or should it be within the public comment?
Within executive session.
Okay. So yes, let's adjourn to executive session, please.
I need a motion.
Are you making a motion to go to executive session?
No.
No. Okay. No. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and stop recording here as soon as I figure out where that's at.
So the next item is return. All right. The next item is consent calendar. These items are expected to be routine and may be enacted by one motion. Does any board member wish to request an item to remove for later discussion? Okay, hearing none, we need a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion. We approve the consent calendar.
I need a second.
I will second that.
Bill Cover? The consent calendar.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Jeff Jones?
Yes.
Craig Letts?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Sharon Tobias?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so for my report for this bi-monthly meeting, we had our tank six, the one that we got lined last year, cleaned, we revamped. We had them come back in, do an annual maintenance to it, just to kind of see how everything was holding up in there with the divers. Check it. They looked at everything as well as they did our clear well, which is our 125,000 gallon tank at the treatment plant, where we first make water, then it sits in a 24-hour detention time before we pump it up to tank six. Both of those tanks came back as scoring a 9 out of 10. The only downfall that we saw was, it's called the mannus, which is like a black silicone that goes around the edges. It was, if he rubbed on it, it rubbed and stuck to his hand. Beyond that, it wasn't deteriorating. Everything else looked immaculate between both tanks. So that was a big win on our part. I was actually really happy to see that tank six, after we spent all that money and did all that work up there with temp tanks and it took a little extra time, it came out really well. So so far, so good up there. The other that we did was, and we've talked about this other one, was the tank four location, our other 750,000 gallon tank. The same company, MIT, is going to come out in October, first couple weeks of October, to do an acid wash and pressure wash the inside. We are not going to coat this tank as of right now. We're just going to clean it, get any of the scaling or any of the dirt that's building up on the walls in there, get it cleaned off, rinsed out, and put it back online. While we do that, we'll replace the fittings, which it's going to be a 90 degree MJ flange, and then a dresser. If you guys ever remember from the pictures from last year, mm-hmm. I'll definitely get some pictures together for my November meeting or for when we do our annual. I'll have everything compiled. They quoted us, we budgeted $60,000 for them to clean this tank. They quoted $51,000. So currently we're going to be under budget on that, but let's just wait. It's a quote right now.
Does that include those fitting changes too?
The fittings are, we purchased, and then we'll install them. It would only be if we had to do an epoxy kit, is what they call it, which is similar to the coating, but it would be in like at the manhole area, or maybe on the MJ flange, we could coat it so it's not cast iron in there and just rust within a year. Those run approximately $250 a gallon, but I think we coated both last time with a gallon. So if anything, it's going to be a very small increase. They're
well under budget.
Yes. And this is quoted out as well for them to be there for 2 weeks. We went a little longer on thinking with this one because of how long tank six took. So once they get in there and start pressure washing with two pressure washers and scaffolding within the tank, it could go faster. But until they start, we're not going to know. So hopefully we can do it within that 2 weeks or less, and then that will reduce this quote.
So. Tyler, just for clarification, I know you said we're not going to hopefully have to coat the tank. When we asked for the bid, however, last year or whenever it was that what we had assumed as well, that we were not going to coat it?
Correct. And that is just because we don't have to put temporary tanks up there. It's just a little valving for me, and we can utilize either our tank six location or the CCWD water directly from CCWD. So this tank will be easy to take on and offline. We won't have to gather tanks and do extra plumbing, a lot of SCADA work that went into the other tank. So this should be a fairly simple clean. Once they do the cleaning and we get to observe where it's at, we'll make the decision if we do need to coat it within the next, I'll say, 3 years or so. We'll make that decision.
I appreciate that. But when we originally asked them, when we set up our budget for 60 grand, I think you said it was, did that assume that we were going to be coating it or not?
That did not assume we were going to be coating it.
Okay.
I think so it was around $85,000 for the coating and the cleaning on tank six.
All right. I want to make sure we were apples to apples. So it sounds like we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
How big is tank six compared to the last tank we coated?
They're both exactly the same. Okay. Same diameter, height, gallons, everything. They're identical. Piping, everything is the same. The only thing that's different, I'll say, in tank four is there's what we call the sensing line that goes over to an altitude valve that operates it, filling and draining.
Kind of a float
valve. Yeah, like a float. So CCWD water just constantly drops a foot, it fills back up a foot, and it sits there and it goes back and forth in a 1 foot range. We've had, over the last couple of years, we had this
very large oak tree out front. I don't think anybody has missed it if you pull in our office, because it's in the way as when you look down the road. But we had a very large piece of it break off 2 years ago, and then another piece last year during snowstorms. It is rotting from the inside out. So I got a quote, or I'm working on getting the quote. Kendall hasn't got back to me yet. We have that tree, two other cedars within that group, and then two small pines within that group that are rotting that are going to need to be removed. The one thing that Kendall's still waiting on is we're going to have to hire the local crane service to come in for that large oak tree, because we can't drop it in the roadway. We're going to have to block off the road, keep the crane there, take it down in pieces and set it to the side. So our plan is to do it on a Saturday or a Sunday, when it'll be easiest to close off the road before the fire station, so we're not affecting them, and just after the post office. So we have a very small area there that the crane will sit in, and we'll just close the road in that section. Mm-hmm. The other one is, there is another tree, a large Doug fir at the treatment plant, that around 5 years ago was struck by lightning. And you can see the spiral of the strike down it. It is now cracking. And it is, the last time we had an arborist out and remove the cedar trees around the treatment plant and the bark beetles, that was his one that he recommended that get removed as soon as possible. So we included that one in what we're going to try to have Kendall take out. As soon as I get that quote back from him, I'll let the board know where we're at. But we definitely need to remove these trees for, one, the safety of the treatment plant. The other will be the safety of our general public.
And none of them qualify for PG&E.
No, we're nowhere near the lines. I know, I already tried that one. I made a few phone calls and I tried. Unfortunately for this one out here, the power lines are underground or are what, on the other side of Highway 4, and then they come down like Henry, and we just missed.
I was going to say, you know, if you need help, I can call 10 on your side. Okay.
So, yeah, we're not going to be able to get somebody to remove it. So we're looking at trying to get those removed, hopefully before this winter. Kendall said he had time to do it. The biggest one was just trying to schedule the crane to come in on a Saturday or Sunday.
But for a while, wasn't there a county program, or if it could potentially fall on a road or something, they would fix? I recall something about that a couple, year or two ago, but I assume that's not the case anymore.
Correct. I reached out to Public Works and tried to have them remove it as well, because it is near the county right of way, but it is on our property. And because it isn't an immediate threat, since the big limbs have broken off of it, or the big spurs have broken off of it, they weren't willing to remove it at any time that was going to be quickly. So I didn't want to rely on them. So I felt we should just move forward. The two pines that are out there, when Kendall and I went out and took a look at them, we actually could kick them and could go into the raw. Wow. He was surprised that they're even still standing. So we need to remove those five. The big one is going to be the oak.
And get them done before snow.
Correct. Any other questions regarding the tree removal?
We're waiting for a bid, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I don't have an exact number yet. I was hoping he'd get back to me here this week, but he didn't make it in time before the meeting. Another issue we had was at our well 4 location. Let's see, it would have been the beginning of August or about mid-August. We had a small power outage here in Arnold on a busy weekend. When it did that, the three-phase surge protector at well 4 got fried. It's done. We have one phase out of the three phases coming into it. So currently we have no surge protector before the SCADA equipment, which is extremely expensive. So I had Arthur Electric come out. They are having the new three-phase surge protector had to be built. It wasn't just like a quick replacement. That was going to be a 60-day lead time. It should be about the beginning of October will be 60 days. So hopefully we can get him down there, install that, and we'll get back our protection in our well 4
location. So right now we're unprotected.
Currently we are, and we've had well 4 off up until Friday. Friday, we turned it back on to try to, our GPMs are 100 less at the treatment plant. So we're currently running, let's say, an 8-hour shift, and we're getting barely 100,000 in that shift, where we're typically closer to 150 to 160,000.
Has demand dropped, you know, since the
Labor Day was extremely high? We were over 300,000 a day. We're still not under the century mark throughout this week. We should hopefully be able to start lowering that soon. Now that people are going back to school, our last big holiday happened. I hope that it'll start dropping off. But in the meantime, we were struggling, especially during Labor Day. We would run all day, and we were losing ground in the tank. So we decided right after Labor Day to turn it back on, get the tank caught back up, and then we'll go ahead and shut it off again until that surge protector comes back. We also had our John Deere excavator, got close to its 1,000-hour mark. We called Pape to come and do maintenance on it. They were happy to send a mobile mechanic up here, so we didn't have to take it down to French Camp, which was nice. They came in, did the 1,000-hour maintenance, all oil, hydraulic oil, greasing, and then took back the fuel and the oil to do tests on it to make sure that it was up to par. So that has been completed. Hopefully, with how much we use the excavator, I think it was almost at 5 years that it hadn't been serviced since we purchased it. Yeah. And then Tim, when he sold it to us, had just serviced it the year prior. So it's probably been 4 years we've owned it. Yeah, it time flies, right?
I was going to say. Kind of that long.
So yeah, that just took place yesterday, actually. So it's nice to have, it's ready to be used. His only recommendation was try to use it a little more. The master meter on Linda. So every morning we go and read master meters to help diagnose which zones possibly would have a leak. Also gives us our usage numbers. The master meter on Linda stopped working. So we had an extra one, thank goodness. We were able to take the insides out of it, go and switch it out over there. And so far, we're on day two now. Everything's working again. But I'm going to have to send back the other top piece, or the guts of it, to Aquametrics for a replacement. Currently haven't got a quote back from them yet, but we're working toward replacing the piece that we borrowed from another meter, and we'll
put that back. Get
our spare back. Yeah, exactly.
What size is it?
It's 1.5 to 2-inch meter.
Oh,
so it's a 2-inch meter in the bypass. Okay. But on the top of it says 1.5 to 2-inch.
And it's just a standard meter. It's not.
It's a Sensus Omni, so it's the same as our other meters that we have out in the field, just for the main meters, though. We do have a 4-inch one, a 6-inch one, and then we have multiple 1.5, 2-inch. The Lodge is another one, is a great example. Blue Lake Springs Lodge has 1.5 to 2-inch meter going into that lodge, the exact same one. So we'll work toward getting that replacement, and that way we have another backup on hand. And then finally here in October, I'll reach out to all our committees, the finance and rate, infrastructure and facilities, and the personnel committee to just discuss our upcoming 2026 year. One will be the budget, of course. That'll be one of our big topics of discussion within those meetings. And then if we need to come up with any kind of financing for next year's projects. Currently, I don't see anything that is like really out there for me to say that yes, we're going to be doing these beyond just our general maintenance right now.
We are all done on borrow court.
Completely done. We are completely done with all the metering mainline projects. The next one will be unit 13, which has been completely replaced except for the mains out there. And that's one I'm going to have to talk to an engineer about when they come out. The AC pipe, when we dug it up for our cross-country line, what was that, the end of 2024, when we did that with Rillary, when we pulled it out of the ground, it was brand new. There was nothing wrong with it. We're not having, now that we have PRVs out there, hydrants have been replaced, all the services have been replaced, and everybody's metered. We don't have the breaks that we were having out there that we had in the past.
Right.
So if it continues with the lack of breaks, we could hold off on unit 13 for a little bit, because I believe it's the year after the meter replacement, mm-hmm. which is another very big project. We're gonna have to replace all the meters. I think we're at like 6 or 7 years left yeah. on the batteries. And if we don't replace them in that year, we could, meters could start dying. So having those two right next to each other was always going to be a difficult job. So if we could, we'll just see where we're at with our capital asset funds after we finish the metering project, just the way that costs have gone up over these years. And who's to say that in the next seven, that they're not going to go up more. So we'll see you after we finish the metering project and do the full meter replacement, where we're at and what we can go work on out in unit 13. I think unit 13 is going to be a very large undertaking because the current services that are there, you're going to have to connect to the new main, but you don't want to have people out of water every day. So every day they're going to have to shut down the main, attach, let's just say 10 or 15 services, and then recharge the main until all of unit 13 is done. It's going to be a very difficult project, but that's going to be something that engineers would know a little bit more about than me for right now.
The time frame would be several hours.
It would be the day, because you'd have the guys coming in 7 in the morning and not leaving until 4 in the afternoon, and taking the old saddle, moving the service lateral over to the new main. And then you still have to keep the old main hot. So every time you remove one, you're going to have to plug it. So then that one can be recharged so people aren't out of water. This isn't going to be a quick project. But maybe the engineers would have, I'm sure that we're not the first water company that's done
yes,
this.
It is.
I'm sure they have a game plan to be able to do this. We'll have to talk about that down the road, but that's going to be 8 years from now. So
we need meters first.
Yeah, let's do meters first, and then we'll move forward. But in the meantime, here in October, we'll pull these committees to order and have a discussion of what we're going to do in 2026.
Thank you, Tyler.
That's it.
Good report.
Thank you.
So the next item is the budget rates.
Yes, this will be the first draft that we worked up. There's still a lot to fine tune in this budget for what we're going to be. It's going to be us needing to meet to fine tune those last numbers between personnel, projects. Otherwise, I mean, it looks so far looks pretty good to me. I think that we're right on track to having a very similar increase to what we did last year. I think it was the $18. It's about what, 2 or 3%? 3%?
2 point something.
Yeah, it's a very minimal increase. It keeps up with inflation for the most part. And that's $18 for the year, so that works out to like $3 a billion. Is all that they're going to see in an increase in water. So if everything pans out that way, of course, we always, that's why we give the rate sheet out that has, I think it was what, 6, 12, 18,
24? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's our typical percentage increase or dollar increases that we've looked at every year. If we have to go more or we can go less, then we can always have that discussion. In November, after we've met with these committees to help come up with a good number.
How much is the CCWD water supposed to increase next year compared to this year?
It was, what is it, two?
Is it 255 right now?
255 right now. And it's, I believe it was like 273 when we looked at it. I looked at it the other day. But that's not going to happen until July of next year. So we have to kind of take a balance of the 255 and the 270. And what we had budgeted for this year, we're under budget currently in our estimated year end from CCWD.
Okay. All right.
So it's... I think we overshot when we thought about what it's going to increase by, but now that we're seeing our true numbers and how little we're needing it in the summer with our agreement, we're trying to not use it heavily. That way, I think our typical bill is running about 5,000 a month, somewhere in that ballpark.
We use more water this year than August.
We have used more water this year than we have. I think the only 2 years comparable in my charts are going all the way back to COVID.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's a lot of it is just because we're not preaching the we're not in a stage two or a stage three. We're not in this drought conservation mode. So I think people are just using what they want when they come up here. And we're not getting upset at them about watering too much.
I've never seen so many people at the lodge.
Yeah, I agree.
For it during Labor Day.
Yeah.
You know, they were parked all the way up Linda and down, mm-hmm. way down.
At Sequoia Woods is the same way. They were parked all the way out onto
yeah,
Meadow.
Yeah, they were.
The other weekend on Labor Day weekend, I haven't seen that many people at Sequoia Woods in a long time. So we definitely have a lot of people up here, whether they're renting or staying. We do have more usage.
The issue with Blue Lake is we are getting more rentals than ever before. Mm-hmm. Timeshares and one day rentals and weekend rentals. More people are. When they purchase the house, within a month, it goes on to a rental program. Mm-hmm.
So I don't, if we go into the CCW Craig's question, I don't anticipate having us go to some very large extreme next year with CCWD. It should stay fairly consistent. It'll only be their rate increase to us.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they don't list a 4-inch master meter for the monthly. I think it's our base rate is about $1,400 currently. And I'm going to assume that's going to go up as well as our consumptive rate.
That's the base rate on the big meter.
Mm-hmm. And they don't miss that.
Mm-hmm. Every month.
Every month. So every month is around about $5,000. We use a little bit more in the wintertime. So here in October 1st, we'll start to use more CCWD and lax on the wells. And then as soon as May 1st kicks in, we'll stop using as much CCWD and use a lot more wells. But we do have to use the wells throughout the winter just to keep them fresh. You know, right. We have to run them at least once a week. So we're still going to be using our water as well. Any other questions regarding the first draft of the budget? I know it's just kind of real basic right now, and we'll have a Bill, I think it's Bill, Craig, and John, I think, are part of that committee.
No,
so just Craig and Bill, right?
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd have a quorum.
Okay, Craig.
Well, Tyler, you're going to update the cost to produce water again so we can take a look at the consumptive charge again as well?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it looks to me like
I'll do our annual cost of water, and I'll have the CCWD cost estimated out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, we're more parallel to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before COVID.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
September will be interesting.
Yeah.
No, it's just April was so low. Mm-hmm. In March, and then all of a sudden you had a increase in water usage.
You had Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We don't have a snow yet again.
Yep.
Is not my hot tub. It's not my fault.
Are you sure?
So this August is from when? Is that when you read the meters? Is that where this number comes from?
August on the charts?
Yeah.
That'd be the end of August. So it'll be the meters from August 1st to August 30th.
Oh.
So the full month, complete usage for the entire month. And then in the bottom, that'd be in the thousands there. It's mm-hmm. all, it's put three zeros
right
behind it. It's like usually like 3 million, 2 million
yeah.
per month.
Yeah, we don't get any information on rentals from the county, do we?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't kind of handicap how many people are
staying in units.
Yeah, rentals, yeah.
No, and then we would have to justify that in rates. We're not supposed to do that in rate structuring.
Yeah.
What's that, if they're commercial?
They're, yeah, because they're not. It's a residential.
No, we say it's residential, but the county says the transient occupants.
Yeah.
It means it's so commercial.
That would
we can
be
argue about that one forever, but
yeah.
it's not worth it anymore.
Yeah, they use it typically when we see those homes and there's, I'm going to say, 10 people in them. We see it in the water bill.
Well, I was told
there's a very limited. There's a
yeah.
There's always a very limited amount. Kathy has a chart as well yeah. that goes with this that shows the highest users. Typically, we're somewhere between 1 and 15 people that fall into that highest
yeah,
category.
The 80-20 rule, whatever. Rego,
the majority of our entire subdivision falls into that 700 or less. They mm-hmm. barely use any water.
Mm-hmm. Well, our street's empty.
Mm-hmm.
And people pick us up and not see John Asher makes so much noise down there.
<Yeah. laughs>
We only have one party house up there.
So, if there's
it only takes one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it would make it pretty rough on people, but I can't hear them.
If there's any other questions regarding the rates or budget, I can answer them now or do the best I can. But it's definitely a work in progress. It always is in this meeting. Typically, we'll go through this multiple times in a committee. Through quite a few emails, and then November we'll have, before the November meeting, this will be sent back out to you with something that's more finalized that all of us can go over prior to the meeting. And if there is a bunch of questions in that meeting, we can always make adjustments that day, or in the past we have had special meetings in December to finalize this budget. No, we haven't had to in a few years, and I would like to keep that that going. So
good system you have.
We'll do our diligence here in the office, and we will make sure that we can try to have this finalized by the November.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that I want to thank everybody on the all these committees we'll be meeting. I'm thanking you in advance for all your hard work. So.
Me as well. It's difficult to do, and it's nice to have input. So thank you for stepping up and being on these committees.
My turn?
Yep.
Report on monthly billing. So we just had the fourth of our six billings for the year, and we billed out $290,424. And out of that, metered water was $12,561.73. I want to add that 25% of the shareholders use auto pay, which is nice. And we have, at the moment, 25 liens.
Is green a lien?
Yeah,
that'll be a nice one to clear up.
Yeah,
it will be too.
Is it the oldest one too?
No, I have one other one.
I think it's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
So the people who use auto pay, they get everything just sent to them, and it's directly bills or credit cards or something like that?
Yep. Yeah, they're signed up to pay. Yeah.
All right. I'm just trying to gauge. So then the other 75% might be like us who would get a bill and we go in and pay online. And,
yeah.
And then the rest are sending checks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know how many are paying online just not using auto pay? And I don't expect you to know the answer.
I don't.
I'm just kind of curious. Like, is it like another 10%? All right.
I think we're one generation away.
I think it's probably half and half.
Yeah.
Because all of my kids never, they don't even have checkbooks hardly.
No.
Yeah. I know.
And they do it on their cell phone.
And we have our certain people, they come into the office and pay every single time.
We just joined.
They like to walk in and pay.
If I don't have Venmo, I don't have to pay them.
All right. Well, we'll move on.
In the reportables was giving out the retyped employee handbook. Currently, half of this is done. And we have completed typing it. I think we got through all the stuff where legal has it currently, and we'll work out the particulars in the small highlighted areas that were just, they were legal changes regarding employment that started January 1st. So nothing major. And then once that's completed, we'll send it off to the personnel committee. We'll get it next. And then the rest, once that's all completed and everybody's agreed upon it, we'll send it off to the board with it. It'll just be the updated handbook for you to replace. Everybody received one when they first became a board member. So we'll make sure everybody replaces them. They have their updated version.
Is Bruce going to stay on the personnel committee?
As far as I know, he hasn't said no yet. But I also haven't heard from him in a while. So he's enjoying retirement from being a board member.
He's busy with SIRS.
He's always, yeah, he's been on a board ever since the day he retired, he said, in one way or another.
Yeah, he's definitely a giver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, I haven't talked to him yet. Okay. So I hope he would come in. Otherwise, it'll be John and yourself and then Bruce.
He said he would. We're holding him to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he would.
I just, you know, Bruce has got a lot of great history. You know,
oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the old.
Yes.
And that's.
John and I have birthdays.
Oh, that's fine.
Nobody even said happy birthday to me when I came in.
Oh, that's right.
Happy birthday.
Mama, you were.
When's the
tomorrow?
Oh, that's right.
She's December 20th.
I'm older than that. September 11th.
You're December 10th?
Month of the 10th, yeah.
So when I cornered you in the parking lot, I should have been saying happy birthday, not are you coming to the meeting?
yeah.
I've been nicer. Sorry about that.
No, you were fine.
Do you want to end?
That was the only reportable item. Let's go to adjournment.
Yeah.
If there's other.
We could do the letter. The letter to the conservator, does that become a reportable item or just something that I need to take care of?
Yeah, we can put it on there as a reportable.
They're writing the letter to the
state.
To Ralph Abaya.
To the green money.
Yeah, you would report that you wrote the letter, but
yeah,
I don't think we have to.
We'll add it as a new reportable item.
More like action items, like
yeah.
That, so.
Yeah, you would probably right. Should put that together.
We'll put it on there.
Got it. Okay.
So we have it to November.
Can we decide who's going to write the letter?
It's she has to sign it.
Your
letter.
Whoever signed
it.
Find the old.
We're going to find a previous letter, change
it
that. You know, make it adjust it accordingly.
Sure.
So. Yeah, if you need to delegate that stuff to Karen.
Yeah, delegate it. That's what you want. So
we'll need a motion to adjourn now.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
A second.
Yeah, we have to go on one.
No.
And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes.
Something fun today.